G'day everyone, this is the Garden Clinic podcast and I'm Linda Ross. The Garden Clinic aims to provide lots of practical information to get you gardening and to get that garden looking fantastic. Tips and tricks from decades of being an obsessive gardener myself, but of course we draw on the inspiration and advice from the Ross families. Time to time I'll have Graham and Sandra Ross as my very special guests. The Garden Clinic aims to give you the practical information on our website gardenclinic.com and four times a year in our seasonal magazines. We also have a helpline. You can just hop on to Facebook if you've got a question for us on the Garden Clinic. Just hop on to Facebook and we can answer it right here on our weekly podcast. It's exciting to finally get the podcasts up and running. I'm thrilled to be able to provide horticultural and gardening content on a weekly basis, and we'll be going right around Australia and talking to experts in their fields. And each week on each episode we'll have a topic of conversation that we can really get into the meaty information about. This week's topic is one of the most important topics there is, and it's of course about the soil and composting. I think we've all struggled a little bit with composting, the whole idea of recycling not only the kitchen scraps but lawn clippings and prunings. And at this time of the year, autumn, it's a really good time to think about starting a compost system. So this is the topic of conversation today. We'll be talking about lots of other things too, and we've got questions from our listening audience already on the Facebook page.
The best garden in the street.
G'day, Graham Ross here. Now, you all know I love my gardening, and we all know that Sea Sol is simply fantastic for keeping your garden healthy and looking great. But did you know that Sea Sol reduces transplant shock and dramatically increases the plant's survival rate when they're newly planted? Now, look, it's like an insurance policy for your plants. So when you're planting out your seedlings and new plants in your garden, don't just water them in, Sea Sol your plants.
Don't forget the Sea Sol.
This is a fabulous time of the year to start a compost from scratch. Now, I know all too often gardeners start composting with great excitement and fanfare and enthusiasm, only for interest to wane as results disappoint. And so we really wanted today to get really into the nitty-gritty of composting, some of the factors that we need to concentrate on, some of the ratios that were important, and some of the ingredients to use and those to avoid. Accelerators and some activators that you can use to get better results and better decomposition rates. And of course, I wanted to talk about the right compost system for you and share a couple of store-bought alternatives and then some easy ones that you can make yourself. So today's all about composting, and it would be remiss of me not to call Sandra Ross, as she is the queen of compost in the Ross family patch. And so I have her on the line. Good morning, Mum.
Good morning, everyone. Composting is fun.
What are you up to in your garden at the moment? But you know, mid-autumn, the leaves are falling and the temperatures are dropping.
It's such a glorious time. I love autumn. The windflowers are all in full flower, the gorgeous Japanese anemones. They're so soft and lovely. They blow in the wind, well named. I love their softness. And the good thing about them, they grow in the toughest places, like underneath trees where there are lots of roots. You know, it's a really tough little plant, the windflower. The buddleias are still flowering. Oh, my gosh. The new buzz series, I've just been enchanted with them. And I was looking yesterday at the butterflies were sitting on their well-named butterfly bush, the buddleia, and this new little dwarf buzz series. They only grow about a metre, and they're smothered with the most gorgeous, like little lilac flowers. They look like a little bit like lilac, but they're called buddleias. And the last of the dahlias, there's a lovely new one called Home Run. It's one of Keith Hammett's lovely dark-leafed dahlias. So as well as having these beautiful plum-coloured flowers, they've got plum-coloured foliage as well, and they only grow about a metre. So they're very good for a home garden and still in full flower.
Yeah, summer's last hurrah, I imagine, with all of those lovely flowers. All my favourites as well, particularly the buddleias, because they give off that melted honey fragrance and in the heat of summer. Yeah, and they just keep repeat flowering throughout the year. But I suppose as autumn sort of comes into a full swing, although very late, I must say, in Sydney, there's a lot of pruning back to do, and a lot of that pruning has to go somewhere.
Exactly. I don't rush to prune, I have to say. I love the seed heads. Like the seed heads on, well, sedum is a beautiful perennial that sort of browns off. It's a gorgeous mahogany colour. So these are the spent flowers. They're so pretty in the autumn garden. So I leave it for a little bit. I like to enjoy that lovely senescence of the garden at this time. The Easter daisies, the same, perennial asters. They've got their sort of dead seed heads, their dead flowers and seed heads. And I just leave them till the very last minute, and then I cut them right to the base. And, of course, yes, fabulous to put straight into the compost. I don't think people quite realise how important compost is. It's the secret of success in my garden. I absolutely know that for sure.
And how long have you been composting?
Oh, my gosh. How long? I'm not a young chick, so I would say about 40 years.
40 years. Yep. And have you, at the beginning, did you sort of struggle with ratios, and how did you sort of develop your system? And can you explain your system for us?
Good point. I think I've realised how I sort of tended to swamp it with lots of green, and I didn't quite realise you needed to balance the green nitrogen bits, all the leaves and twigs, with the carbon. So you've got to put in shredded paper and straw and, you know, even pizza containers, so you really do need to balance to make the compost, to make it all happen a little bit more quickly.
Yeah, composting is a bit like baking a cake. To get a good result, you need that right balance of ingredients. And
it's
composting,
all about making lasagna, Linny.
Yes, layers upon layers. So aim for a ratio of two ingredients, the carbon and the nitrogen. Sometimes you can classify those as the dry ingredients and the wet ingredients, or the brown ingredients and the green ingredients. But you've really got to give that not too much of the nitrogen.
Well, I think you've just got to have the shredded newspaper there. Invest in a shredder and all you spend, you know, paper, put through a shredder and just put it in. But honestly, I don't get too hung up about it. I just add it to my compost, and I've just realised the whole garden, the secret, all those little, you know, microorganisms, the worms come for miles to my garden. They just say, yippee. And the worms, of course, add their nutrient, their vermicasts and their wee, and their little channels to allow water and air to get down into the soil. So the whole soil is teeming with microflora, and it's just fabulous for plants to grow.
So can you just explain your setup?
So I've got the luxury of the space to have a triple bin, which I reckon is the best and the most efficient. So that's three bins. They're made of a timber frame, and they're lined with chicken wire. So there's plenty of air getting in and out of that space.
Open to the floor, open to the ground, and open to the air.
Open to the ground, exactly, with a gate, a hinged gate on the front that I can open and shovel out the compost when I need to.
And why three?
Well, one is the bin I'm using. So this is lovely decomposed compost that's, you know, taken a few months, maybe 6 months to get to that stage, and that's the bin I'm using. The other bin, middle bin, is the waiting bin. So it's all full to the top, and it's just waiting to decompose down. And then the other bin, the third bin, is the bin that I'm adding to. So every time I've got a bundle of leaves or some shredded prunings or some shredded newspaper, I'm making lasagna layers. I'm not adding too much of any one ingredient at any one time. So I tend to stockpile the leaves, for example, because at this time of year, you know, the whole house and garden is buried in leaves, and they're wonderful to compost.
Yeah, it's kind of a tragedy when you see people throwing leaves out in the green bin when really they can be composted so beautifully, and that energy returned back to the soil. And I suppose that is the big broad concept of having a garden that doesn't have any waste, and you're using the circle of energy really as a sphere.
Absolutely.
Where all of the leaves that drop out of the autumn leaves go into the compost, any of the pruning clippings that you're doing in the autumn winter period also, and a little light layers of lawn clippings are great, and then of course the kitchen scraps, which are obviously very wet with tea leaves and banana peels and all of those things. And do you sort of add a layer of those kitchen scraps, or do you kind of just put them into biodegradable bags?
I tend to put them in their biodegradable plastic bags. Mind you, those plastic bags take forever to actually biodegrade. So I do find that when I'm sort of reaping through my compost and digging through, I've got the remnants of those plastic bags, which I then just shake out the contents, which have all decomposed inside them, and put them into the garbage. So I just don't like to put the compost from the kitchen waste, straight into the bin, because I just worry a bit about rats.
Certainly a rat plague in Sydney at the moment, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And do you stockpile ingredients?
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, Prince Charles at Highgrove, because he's got so many beautiful trees all shedding leaves, far too many leaves for any compost bin, he stockpiles them and makes leaf mould out of them. Now, leaf mould is just pure decomposed leaves. It's the most fantastic organic matter for a garden. He has a special area for leaf mould, which is just his leaves. We have, you know, a lot of leaves, certainly at this time of year, but it is good to stockpile them and not put too many into the garden, because it's all about layers. It's all about not too much of any one layer, because if you put a great big thick layer of, say, a thorn clipping, it'll completely stop the decomposition process because there's just too much of it.
Okay. And then there's another great strategy that I do all the time with the leaves. I get those big black plastic bags, yep, and fill them brimming full of autumn leaves. We've got quite a tough old leaf with the pin oak, Quercus palustris, but, you know, this could work with liquid amber leaves, oak leaves, claret ash leaves and crepe myrtle leaves, and then to sort of really push them into that bag, and a couple of good handfuls of cow manure and blood and bone into the centre of the leaves, and then tie them up and leave them for 6 months. Yep. And the composting process just happens in the bag, and then you can just lay them out late winter or in spring and then just sort of feed the soil that way.
Exactly right. Now, the other point to mention is that when you're composting this way, it's good to put a sort of a pipe into the centre, a big pipe, like a water pipe or something, in which air and water can get down into the bottom of your compost, because composting is all about feeding these aerobic organisms and trying to get it as hot as possible. So by having the air interacting with them, it really does speed up that decomposition process. So just a piece of pipe right in the centre.
That agricultural pipe, I think, is great, because it's got a sleeve and it doesn't get blocked. And then you just sort of snake it in to the centre of your compost heap or pile. And the importance of circulating oxygen is the reason, and to best avoid adding materials such as like grass clippings in bulk, because the grass clippings can mat together and that prevents good airflow into the compost. Exactly. So if you've got that oxygen coming in, and in periods of drought, which we have had in the middle of, you can throw the hose down into that as well and really moisten the whole patch or heap from the inside out.
So it's good if that pipe could have slits in the sides. So that,
well, that's what agricultural line is. It's all got, it's just completely perforated.
Deep out of the sides and keep your compost moist. So compost needs to be not too wet and not too dry, but it does need that level of moisture for all those little aerobic organisms to do their job.
Okay, so air is excellent. And what about turning the compost?
Look, I used to. I don't do it so much now. I find that the bin that I'm using, once it's empty, I actually get the other two bins, which are sort of both partly composted. So what I find is there are pockets of compost that sort of mature quicker than others. And then I just layer those two half-full bins into the third bin. You know what I mean? So I take a layer off one and then a layer off the other. So I'm tipping them over into the third bin. And in that process, I'm distributing the compost that's already been made right through the whole bin. And I'm also getting lots of air in that process. So that means that when you've upended those two bins into the third bin, it will just decompose so quickly, because it's full of partly made compost already, which is like an activator, and it's full of air. You'll find it'll be full to the top, and you'll go down a couple of days later and it'll be half half empty. So it's already dropped because of the decomposition process happens so quickly.
Well, you sound like you love your compost because you're moving it around. And a lot of people would think that's icky and disgusting. But I know from experience that your compost smells sweet and friable, a little bit like kind of sweet chocolate. But I think a lot of people would be thinking that that's just disgusting. And theirs is probably a little bit anaerobic and sludgy and mushy. So how do you avoid that sort of anaerobic decomposition and the mouldy, slushy stuff that no one wants to touch and certainly no one wants to integrate?
No, I think, good point. If we do get heavy rain, important that you cover it so that, you know, in really heavy rain, you don't want to flood it because that's exactly what will happen. It'll get stodgy and that will just stop decomposing. And then in the really dry weather, important to just to add that moisture, as you've mentioned, and just keep that moisture level right. And then when you've got this beautiful compost, which is, you know, just at this time of year, it's such a good time for planting. So I'm planting bulbs at the moment, all the beautiful daffodils and tulips. And I'm adding the compost as a soil conditioner so that any plant that any new plant has a good base because I'm using my compost as a soil conditioner in the planting hole.
And really, when you think of that as a cost-saving measure, it's gold, isn't it? Because you're not having to buy any soil conditioners or compost or fertilizer.
Any compost that you would buy in a bag, your own homemade compost, it's absolutely gold for the garden. And if I find a plant that's a bit sick, I think, oh, look at that little Daphne. It's not looking... I put a little collar of compost around it and give it a lovely drink of seaweed solution, and it just perks up straight away. Loves it.
All right. So what about those who have compost that's excruciatingly slow to compost and they're finding it takes years, not months, to really get?
I think it's because of the lasagna layers. You know, it's all those ingredients that you've mentioned, the shredded prunings. Like every gardener should have a shredder. In fact, it's good if, you know, a street can all combine and have a communal shredder.
That's
so that
a
when
fabulous
you do
idea.
Your prunings, you know, you're not putting great big thick stuff that will really slow the whole process. You're putting all your prunings through a shredder and that munches them all up and makes it so much more digestible in the compost heap.
And a sprinkle of manure or a pelleted manure between the layers?
And blood and bone, I do. I sprinkle blood and bone and pelleted manure, and what else? A little bit of lime, not too much, but a little bit of lime in that as well. Sometimes when I'm actually using my compost, when I'm with the wheelbarrow and the shovel and I'm shoveling it out into the wheelbarrow, that I might enhance the compost with some pelleted manure, some blood and bone, and a little sprinkle of lime at that stage.
And then you're feeding the garden as well as increasing the soil
nutrients. I'm just enhancing the compost. It's already beautiful, rich, fabulous. I'm just enhancing it.
Now, a lot of people say that the ideal minimum volume for a compost is a cubic metre, so 1 metre by 1 metre by 1 metre. And that size generates sufficient heat to destroy weed seeds and speed up the composting process. About weeds, do you add them? Particularly weed seeds?
I don't like weed seeds, no. I try to avoid them. When we're mowing the lawn, if the lawn's got weed seeds in it, we don't put those clippings into the compost. We put it into the green bin. And in the same in the garden, I try and keep the weeds in a special bin when I'm weeding and put them in the green bin, not in the compost. Mind you, you're right, if the compost is hot enough, it will kill weed seeds. And that's the reason it's good to get the air in, to get the temperature up hot, hot, hot. It's the combination of the air and the temperature that cooks those weed seeds and kills them.
Excellent. Now, what about bugs? Bugs in the compost?
Look, I don't get many. I really don't. There might be a few curl grubs sometimes when I'm sort of sifting through doing my, you know, double heading into the third bin trick. I might see a few curl grubs, which I just throw into the chooks. Sometimes people say, oh, we get smelly millipedes and things. I just don't get them.
Do you think the good compost should be sort of steaming or warm?
Warm. I think that's right. Exactly.
And how do you, if you've got a cold anaerobic compost, of course, it's not going to decompose so well, but how do you get the heat building up in it?
It's all about the air.
Air.
So that's where the pipe's good. If you've got the pipe in, that's helping to get air right down into the compost. And if you're fluffing it up the way I mentioned, that's why it is good to turn compost. You know, in the old day, we used to turn it with like a pitchfork to get the air in. So if you've got the energy to do that, that's good.
And what about those sort of worm screws that screw into a compost and remove a plug and allow airflow in that way?
They're very good, those composting worms, they're called. And you screw them down in and you pull out a plug of compost, and that allows air and water to get down into your compost heap. But I think you're right. Don't have it too big. I think a metre by a metre is big enough so that you can get access to it all, and it's not too big and not too heavy.
All right. Now, lime, you've just mentioned lime. I suppose because composting is such a naturally acidic process that the lime just aids the decomposition of waste, encourages worm activity, and probably also discourages unwanted insect activity as well.
And it just corrects the pH. And when you've been composting for as long as I have, you know, you can imagine our soil is so good, 30 years of composting. The soil is just fabulous, and anything we plant into the garden just takes off. And the whole secret is because of the compost. So you do need that little bit of lime just to counteract that acidity. But you know what? I never use a pH. I never check the pH. I don't seem to have to. It's just everything just grows so beautifully.
Now, we've got 12 chickens, so there's obviously a lot of backyard chicken manure that comes with having hens.
That's Would you, great do you add you that? The ch-
yeah. when I finally get around to it a couple of times a year, muck out the chicken coop. That's all usually a bed of shavings, wood shavings, and then has the chicken manure on top. Do you just do, again, another layer of that within your lasagna compost?
It's just one of the layers, so you just muck it out and put it into a garbage bin or something and just add it to the compost in layers along with everything else.
Is there anything that you wouldn't add to a compost?
I just don't like no meat, no dairy, but there's not much else.
No, I've seen onion and orange peel go in.
Everything goes in. A lot of people say, oh, no, you can't put oranges in, but there's no problem with oranges. No, but people say, oh, you can't put eucalyptus leaves in. But they do, not that we've got many eucalyptus leaves in this garden, but they would just decompose. They might take a little bit longer, but they definitely will decompose.
All right, so let's get on to accelerators and activators. We do use go-go juice a little bit.
Yes. Mind you, I don't really need to because, as I mentioned, some parts of the compost decompose quicker than others. So I get these little pockets of compost that act as an accelerator for the rest, which is why it's good to spread that through. But go-go juice is full of those sorts of enzymes that will absolutely accelerate the activity in the compost and make it happen more quickly.
Yeah, so if you're finding it's a bit sluggish and your composting's not taking forever to get to decompose into those lovely friable kind of loamy, sponge-like clumps, then maybe adding some compost activator that you can buy from your local nursery, or go-go juice that supplies, you know, really good bacteria to aid decomposition. Look, a lot of people might not have the luxury of 1 metre by 1 metre. They might have a smaller garden. They might not be able to have or build a compost heap or bins. There are a lot of compost systems that you can just go out and buy. So I thought we'd just kind of have a chat about the pros and cons of some of the store-bought ideas. Firstly, I think we start at the top with AeroBin, because I've had a lot of success with that.
I think it's a great idea. The concept, of course, is that it keeps the temperature stable. It's got a, what do you call it, an
internal lung. It takes the air into it.
It does, and it keeps the temperature stable. And, of course, that's the secret, isn't it? To keep the temperature warm enough so that it doesn't lose heat. I think a lot of those compost tumblers, you know, they get hot, but they lose heat. But this one's got a sort of insulated so that it stays at a good hot temperature. And you put all your rubbish in the top and you pull your compost out the bottom. So that's how it sort of works, an aero bin.
Yeah, and there's a tap at the base, I think, of the unit that allows the leachate to be collected and applied to plants as well. So you've got more of a sort of liquid. And I think it's the aero bin is ideal for people wishing that they don't really want to turn their compost manually, but let it aerate itself because it
Yep.
is a totally sealed construction and it is also vermin proof because it has a lid. And so then you just open the lid and then you just add your composted kitchen scraps. And then always I like to when I was renting, I had my aero bin because it's easy to move from house to house as well. And I always had a bale of straw or lucerne or sugarcane right next door. And every time I would add the kitchen scraps, I would put a layer of straw
Good
or
idea.
sugarcane
Yep.
because otherwise it just gets too wet. And then,
Yep.
of course, you've got the gate at the bottom, which you can open, and then you can start digging out the composted material. I did always find that it just sort of reduces to nothing. But I suppose when you think about where that waste is going, if it's going into the bin and landfill, it's much better to decompose it into nothing in your own backyard anyway, isn't it?
Oh, fantastic. It's probably the best, I think, of all the compost bin
Yeah,
type constructions.
around the $400 mark, it's a pretty big
Yep.
investment. Although I did find a couple on sale secondhand on eBay or for
All
a
right.
couple of hundred bucks, people who were downsizing or didn't need their aero bin anymore, which was a really great one. Okay, let's think of the Realm Worm Farm. So that's a
Wow.
plastic unit that can either be raised on legs and that allows the liquids to be easily collected.
I think these are really good for people in apartments
Yep, that's right.
because
Ideal for balconies and units.
that they don't smell, and you just shred all your kitchen. You have to cut it all up because the worms won't be able to eat it unless you cut it up finely. So that's the only thing with it. You've just got to cut
And
the
I think
kitchen up.
the worm farms are good for those like one or two people in the family too, when you don't have a huge amount of scraps
That's
because you don't
right.
want to overfeed those worms. But you're right, it's
Exactly.
totally sanitary because it's completely contained. You've got the tap at the bottom and the liquids then can be diluted with water and applied as a fertilizer.
Yeah, for all your potted plants on your balcony.
Yeah, so
So
that's about
hopefully.
the worm farm, the Realm one's about, I don't know, 120, 140 bucks. And then you've got the timber bin, but you can also make a metal mesh bin. And that's sort of a basic construction suitable for holding excess materials that are waiting to get into the compost bin.
Yep.
So it's sort of like a
Like
chicken,
a column,
a yeah,
basically.
like a column, a chicken mesh kind of column that you can just keep stuff composting materials that are ready to go into the compost, but just as a stockpile, I think that's really easy. Maybe a couple of star pickets around and then just circle the chicken mesh, and that's a really simple strategy for allowing the stockpile of ingredients whilst
And
waiting.
it lets the air through, which is the good thing about that. Now, what about compost tumblers? That's the other one, isn't it?
Yeah, back to the olden days with those compost tumblers, yeah, in the 80s. I think there was one called the Rapid Compost Tumbler 310, and
All
it's
right.
quite expensive at 450, 450 bucks around that. But it was very durable and it was raised on a frame, wasn't it?
And it did compost very quickly because you were turning it every day, and by turning it, you were adding air. So the turning process would incorporate the air. It had slits on the top. So you did have to turn it, and it did get jolly heavy when
It
it got
was.
full. And then, of course, it had this door that when it was sort of composted, you just opened the door and put your wheelbarrow under it and sort of empty the contents. So you sort of had to do it all in one go.
Yeah, you couldn't add to it.
No, you had to sort of fill it up and then let it just turn it every day, and then it would take, what, a couple of months. And then it would be ready,
Yeah, the
for the
compost
compost.
tumbler, it was definitely ideal for those who wanted compost as quickly as possible.
It got a bit heavy for me, I have to say,
Yeah,
myself,
it
if
did
I'm
have
going
that
to
kind of
turn it.
circle, like that kind of wheel, that drum that could rotate, but
It's
that once it was
exactly what it
full,
is.
it was true. But again, it was also vermin proof, which is excellent. So there are some really good store-bought alternatives for those who want a good birthday present, maybe a
And
good
then there's some
idea.
people, Lenny, who just put a little, like a little Getty bin, which you can buy, I think, from your local council, and they make their compost in situ, like in the middle of their veggie patch. They'll do a little heap, and then they'll take the lid off, they'll put in the ingredients, and then the compost is sort of made in situ. And then when it's ready, they just take the Getty bin off, and they put it somewhere else.
Well, that is an excellent strategy to end on, I think, because this is one of the easiest ideas there is.
It is.
So that was the Gedi compost bin, and that's spelt GEDYE. And the features of this is, like, it's a basic design, as you said, sits on the ground. It's pretty cheap, around the $50 mark. And then
you got a little lid.
Yep, got a little lid. And you can just move it and compost as you go. But you know what? I was just thinking also that there's such a great idea where, okay, those who have got a little veggie patch, you just dig a hole 40, 50 centimetres.
Yep.
You can just bury your weekly kitchen scraps in the hole and then fill it with soil. What do you think of that idea? So just doing it on a small scale and allowing the...
I prefer the Gedi bin because then you've got the compost actually there and you can use it more. I mean, you've got it sitting there on the top of the soil and you can sort of dig it through that garden bed. If you're saying at this time of year we're all planting, you know, all our winter veggies, aren't we?
Oh, yes.
So if you have it in place, you can, oh, yes, now I'm going to plant my broccoli and my kale and my spinach and just use it. I think it's just a little more accessible when it's on the top of the soil rather than buried.
One strategy that Angus Stewart and I experimented with in the veggie patch at the beach was the open to the bottom worm farm. So it was just a cylinder with a lid that looks like a Dalek, you know.
Oh, yes.
And it was open to the ground. And then we just put in, because it's just a weekender, we just put in the kitchen scraps into the top. We put some red earthworms, some tiger worms in it, and they just eat the kitchen scraps and it just ekes into the veggie patch all around the side of it. So it's kind of just sitting proud in the veggie patch. There is another one, I think, by Realm, which is a subterranean compost farm, which you actually dig in. And the lid is about the size of 10 inches round, and it's at the surface of the soil. You just twist the lid and open it and then add your kitchen scraps into there, into a subterranean worm farm. Yeah, you dig a hole farm and insert it, and then you put your worms in there. And I just think, look, those are really simple, cheap ways of just, you know, composting your kitchen scraps and allowing that nutrient and energy to be absorbed by the earthworms and into the soil.
Yep, yep.
For your veggie patch.
Fantastic to recycle all those ingredients. It makes you feel so good.
It does make you feel quite virtuous. And let's face it, anything that makes us feel good in this world, it should be done. Wonderful to chat to you today about composting.
Everybody.
Yeah, and it is a good time of year to do it, isn't it? Like, you know.
Oh, yes. This is the best time. There's so much available now to be composting. Now's the time to start.
That's right. You've got all your ingredients. And I do remember Mickey Robertson at Glenmore House. She does two composts a year. She does her winter, so she stockpiles all the ingredients, and then she'll do one compost now, and that will be ready for spring planting of veggies. And then she'll do one in summer that will be ready for autumn planting. So she does the two big composts, and all of that compost goes straight into the veggie patch for the two main sort of seasonal plantings of the year.
It's a very lovely place to go. She does lots of workshops and things out there too at Glenmore House.
Yeah, she's actually got a winter pruning workshop coming up on June the 6th, I think. So if anyone is interested in learning how to prune, you know, and I think the way that she does that at Glenmore House is excellent, because you really learn by seeing, not listening. You actually look at what she's doing and think, oh, okay, that's how far I need to prune the rose. Anyway, she's got a pruning workshop, winter pruning workshop coming up. So head to her website, Glenmore House, and get the dates and book into that. She has them all throughout the year, and they're very inspiring. And of course, that's in Camden, in the northwest of Sydney.
Oh, of course, you could come to one of our garden clinic classes if you remember.
You do have a composting workshop too in winter.
I've got a composting workshop coming up.
Love Your Soil, I think it's called. Yes, that is a really great class, composting workshop. So there are lots of things available, classes, workshops and so forth, that you can get all that practical advice. And if you want more information about your composting workshop, head to the Garden Clinic website, gardenclinic.com, and you just head to events and see what classes are available. I know you do a rose pruning workshop in the winter, and a camellia workshop too, because the camellias are starting to flower, aren't they?
Oh, yes, everything. Lots of lovely ways to all get together and interact and learn about gardening.
Well, thank you for your time today.
My pleasure, sweetie.
You've inspired me to get out this afternoon and do some turning. So lovely to have Sandra Ross part of our inaugural Garden Clinic podcast. And we hope to do this every single week, where we chat to somebody about their passion in life, their passion in the garden, and hope that we can glean a little bit more information that helps us create the garden of our dreams. And if you've got a query for us on the Garden Clinic podcast, just head over to Facebook and leave your question there. It's the Garden Clinic Facebook page. You can just add a little question and we'll get back to you and answer your query as soon as we can. Thanks for listening. This is Linda Roth and the Garden Clinic. Until next week, enjoy, happy gardening, and go safely. The
best garden. Hi there, Graham Ross. Now, you all know I love gardening, and we all know that Sea Sol is just simply fantastic for keeping your garden healthy and looking great. But did you know that Sea Sol helps with root development? This means that Sea Sol treated plants have a greater access to water and nutrients in the soil. This goes for everything in your garden, from your lawn to your roses, even your veggie patch. So don't just water your garden, Sea Sol your garden.
Don't forget the Sea Sol.